Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. Whoever you are, wherever you are, I hope you're having an absolutely awesome holiday weekend. We have a guest scheduled for today, but we've not been able to be in touch with her. So I am looking forward. I'm hoping she's going to be able to get into the studio. But in the interim, we are going to open up the phone lines today at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. 008. And when my guest calls in, then we will let you know all about it. Being that this is the weekend of weekends relative to July 4th, there's so many things that come up. We've had all kinds of programs that have been on television, and of course, fireworks were crackling around here and exploding until about 2 o'clock in the morning. Which is typical. I think people just love to celebrate. And I thought to myself, there is so much that is, well, it's just exciting about a holiday like that. And I just thought that I would share with you a quote by George E. Stringfellow. And this is what it was. Our forefathers gave us a system of government which has produced greater liberties and higher living standards than ever before experienced in the history of the world. As citizens, it is our duty and our responsibility to do our utmost to protect that system and to provide moral leadership for the rest of the world. Wow, what a powerful statement that is. You know, when you think about it, we really need to be aware of the fact that how we represent ourselves makes a great deal of difference, and I'll be sharing some stories with you later on in the show about that. But again, I wanted to let you know the phone lines are open at 888-627-6008, and if you are a first-time listener, well, all you have to do is call into the show, give me your first name or your initial, and I will be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. I wanted to start off with a story about someone that went for 50 years without any sleep. Boy, I don't do well on one night without good sleep. So 50 years? My goodness. Well, on November 27th in 1960, a gentleman who was about 61 years of age, his name was Valentin Median. Now, he was a Spanish farm worker. He was walking along the road towards Madrid. And he just rested a little by the roadside whenever his feet bothered him. This man did not sleep. He did not ever remember sleeping very much. Now, he was on his way to a hospital to ask doctors to treat his sleeplessness. And they couldn't believe that this man had not slept in years. That's a bit far-fetched. How would you feel if someone came in and said, oh, I haven't slept for years? Well, you'd say, oh, yeah, but you will when someone gives you a knockout drop. Or you're going to get so exhausted you'll just fall asleep on your feet. Well, that wasn't the case with Valentin. Hospital medics decided they were going to find out the real story, and they contacted his hometown physician. Now, his hometown physician had been treating him for over 50 years. He said, no, he's telling you the truth. He's never slept. And they started to observe him, and they said, my goodness, it's true. This man does not sleep. Well, they were feeling very, very, you know, badly for him, and they said, all right, we are going to send you home. And they put him on a train. He had never ridden a train. The guy walked everywhere. And that was something that was just great, but his comment to them was that at night, the nights would be a lot shorter if he knew how to read books. He said, I can only sit in front of the kitchen fireplace and wait until the rooster crows. Wow, that would be amazing. How many of us often think, if only I didn't have to sleep, I could get so much more done. Well, at the time that this man was living, the lifestyle he had was a very simple one, and he couldn't read. So his life was basically boring. Can you imagine? There'd be no television. Who knows if he had a radio, but he could not sleep. Well, he's not the only person, apparently, in recorded history that hasn't been able to sleep. In 1961, there was an 81-year-old British farmer, Eustace Burnett. He said that at 27 years of age, for some reason, he lost all desire for sleep and then spent 6 hours a night with crossword puzzles, the radio, or books. Sleeping pills didn't work on him. Just gave him a headache. I wonder if he had dark circles under his eyes. And there's another recorded story about someone that didn't sleep. This is during the 1940s. There was a 90-year-old gentleman by the name of Al Herpin. From the time he was born, he did not sleep. His poor mother, oh my goodness, can you imagine what it would have been like for her to have a tiny baby that never slept, would cry or talk, just, you wouldn't get any sleep. You'd have to have a staff that'd be able to take care of that situation. Now, he was born into a family that was very poor. He lived in a tar paper shack in New Jersey as an adult. And after he'd get home from work, he would just go into this rocking chair, sit in this rocking chair, and he'd read until he felt rested. Now, they think, they absolutely don't know for sure, that his chronic insomnia was due to an injury his mother had while she was pregnant. Well, how did that affect him? They have no idea. They honestly didn't know. And then, in another part of the world, Hungary, there was, in 1911, a woman by the name of Rachel Szegi. She woke up with a very bad headache. The doctor told her she was getting too much sleep. So for the next 25 years, she didn't go to sleep. She never had another headache. Figure that one out. All of this stuff is documented. And then going back into the 1800s, there was a David Jones of Indiana. Now, he didn't go sleepless for years, but he did go sleepless awake without any trauma associated with it for 93 days. In 1894, he was awake for 131 days. And in 1895, when he had been awake for 20 days, he said, I'm not going to go back to sleep again. And what he would do after that, he didn't. He stayed awake after that. He took care of his farm, no adverse effects. There are yogis in the world that they don't sleep. And they have become very adept at going into an altered state. And their bodies somehow end up being rested. But for most of us, we need our sleep, right? We all look haggard and shot and worn out. But I thought I would share that story with you today because there are so many strange things in life that go on that we don't have any understanding of. We honestly don't. And why can some people do certain things and others, most of us can't? Who knows? It is just something that happens, and it's a fascinating phenomenon. But what is it that goes on when we do go to sleep? Well, our bodies typically repair themselves and are able to get back into a sense of rhythm. These people didn't need it. I don't know. It's really fascinating stuff. Well, it's summertime, and again, I'm sorry we do not have, we're not able to reach our guests today. So if you want, give us a call at 888-627-6008. I wanted to share some tips with you for those of you that might find yourself moving, or if you know of someone that is moving. Sophie Ball had sent me some of these tips, and I thought that they were really, really good. And moving's expensive. It always has been very costly. I think years ago there were ways that you could make it a lot less expensive. You'd go to the store, you'd get boxes, and you would load things up and maybe get a U-Haul and off you'd go. But it is. It's a big expense. And in today's world, I think it's a lot more costly when you are moving. And so people try to think this through, unless they don't have a lot of possessions. You have to really pay attention because you've got deposits both for utilities, you have it for wherever you're moving to, you've got time off work. There's just all kinds of things. And lots of times people think that they've budgeted well, and then they find that maybe they've got to buy insurance and other things. Here are some tips that Sophie passed along that I thought were really, really good. Tip number one, she said, secure a guaranteed price. She said, some of your movers are going to charge you by the hour, and some offer a binding estimate or a flat rate based on the inventory. She said, whatever you do, stay away from a company that only gives you non-binding estimates. She said, you may be very unhappy that when you get your final bill, a substantial amount of cost has been added. So you want to get a guaranteed price in advance, and you want it in writing. Also, believe it or not, in the moving industry, they have off days. And she said, if you will do your homework, you will find that they're busiest at the beginning of a month and at the end of a month. Weekends, they're swamped. So if you have flexibility, a midweek, a mid-month move is going to save you a lot of dollars, which is a good thing. And whatever you do, remember, don't take iffy items. Moving is the opportunity to really clean house. That's right. You can scrutinize what you've got to make sure you really want them to go with you. And reducing the cubic footage that's going to be in that moving van reduces your price. And it's going to cost you if you take along stuff that you really don't want anymore. So leave it behind. Donate it to Goodwill. And I can remember a number of years ago when we moved up from the Hollywood area in California. My husband and I had not been married very long, and he got a transfer up to Northern California. And interestingly enough, he was working for a trucking company. So they took care of the move for us. We didn't have to pay for it. But we had told them how much we had, and we had underestimated the space that was going to be available to us, and we were forced to leave stuff behind. And that was really a challenge because we had to make sure that we called, it was Goodwill at the time that had people come out and they'd pick up a couch and whatever else you would leave. And I don't know if they do that so much anymore, but at the time, that's what they would do. And so we had to make an arrangement with our landlady that we could leave that there. We had given her information on when the Goodwill was coming because we had to move, and we had to be able to load everything into the truck and then be out of there within a certain amount of time. And so the timing for the Goodwill truck to come in and pick up our stuff was after we had left. And she was very gracious. She worked with us on this. And, of course, we'd had the chance to clean the apartment and do everything that we needed to do to keep it in good order. But it was something I'd never experienced before because when I'd moved, I'd never had that problem. There wasn't that much stuff, but we found that we had acquired some things. And so you do need to really pay attention to that. Also, if you are in a position to do so, book your movers early. And you're going to find that they base their moves, the price on their moves, on availability. So if you get a reservation early, you've got good negotiation leverage. And don't underestimate the cost of packaging materials. Oh, boy, this is so important. I know that when I had to go back and attend a funeral of a member of my family, and there were a number of items that I had to take out of this person's home and ship them. I was astonished at the cost of boxes and packing materials. So chat with people that are knowledgeable about what you're going to need and start packing well in advance. Boy, is that a winning suggestion. That is an absolute. That way you'll know whether or not you have all the materials you need to get the job done. Now, it's great to have professionals be able to do the packing for you, but you can also do a lot of it yourself. And they will offer you packing tips, and they'll even sell you whatever it is that you need. And they can help you estimate the number and types of boxes you're going to need and deliver them a few days before the move. And if you have clothing, there's wardrobe boxes where you can put your clothing in it. It'll just travel fabulously. I've used those. It's really a good idea. And also, be sure you keep all of your receipts. Many cases of regarding moves, you're going to find that the expenses will be deductible from your federal income taxes, especially because of changes in employment. So you need to talk to your CPA about the specifics on that. But it really is a very good, it's a very big deal. And a lot of people are moving, selling their homes, relocating. This is really the time of the year, especially when kids are out of school, where a lot of families like to be on the go. So maybe your move is coming up this fall, whatever it is that's going on. These are just some tips that Sophie sent along, and I want to thank Sophie very much for doing that for us, because those tips, tuck them away in the back of your mind, and you will know that you're going to be able to have a move that is really significantly a lot easier than you would otherwise expect. Moves are always a big deal. In today's world, we need to be aware. We need to be able to discern information when we hear it. And I really think that this is something we have to learn. I don't know about you, but I remember how for such a good portion of my life, I would think that everybody that I spoke to, or most of the people that I spoke to, I'd have a trust in them. And it came to news on television or radio. Boy, they really must know more than I do. Well, we really need to learn how to discern facts. And that's not always easy to do, because I think you do have to be taught to question and evaluate facts. And in today's world, we are bombarded with so much information that I really think some tips that have been shared by a person that's in the media. My goodness, there are those of us that will remember, like Frederick does. Frederick Allen is the gentleman that passed along these suggestions. The television broadcast where Walter Cronkite would say, and that's the way it is, he was such a trusted reporter. You have Dan Rather. You have a number of people that when they would report information, they really were considered the person that if they said something, it had to be true. But how can you trust what you read or what you watch? Well, according to Frederick Allen, and those of us that have been in media for a while know that this is true, there's no such thing as completely unbiased news. That's absolutely true. And no one can report any news story without encapsulating complicated events. You know, it's amazing. We can look at something and we see something on television or on the internet and we think that's all of it. We're not really given the information of what goes on behind the scenes. What is the truth? The trial that they put on air publicly, don't you make a judgment? Wow, they must be right. This must be the bad person. That must be the good person. But do you have all the facts? Many times, reporters will leave out what they perceive as insignificant details, or they'll have their own biases that color what they are reporting. So you'll find no two people are going to report necessarily the same thing the same way. And there is no such thing, and I would agree with Frederick Allen on this, as a single objective telling of a news event. So, as a professional, here are five things that he recommends. And I think that these are five points of wisdom that we can apply in many different levels of life. He said, get information from less biased sources. Every news, every major news broadcasting environment has their own agenda. They'll have their own slant. So be willing to look at other reports as well. Also, tip number two, he says, separate news from opinion. You always need to ask, is what's being expressed reporting or commentary? Now, what's interesting when you start doing this, when you just ask that little question, you'll find many times someone is making a comment. They're interjecting their personal feelings. It's not necessarily reporting facts. News on the front page of a publication, commentary on the editorial page, when you're watching television or on the internet, sometimes it's very difficult to discern the difference. Now, he recommends a couple of sites, which I was unaware of, and I'm happy to share it with you. Drudge Report, that's right, Drudge, D-R-U-D-G-E Report, and Talking Points Memo. Those two sites, they're very different from each other, but they'll give you different views. And he says, be sure you keep your antennae up and turned on if you hear anything that sounds untrue. You can often find out what you need to know. In fact, there is a site. We've all heard about Snopes.com. Well, even Snopes sometimes doesn't have the facts right. But there is another site, especially if you're interested in politics or whatever. It's called FactCheck.org. FactCheck.org. And when you do this, when you get your news from another venue, opposing positions, also there's another point, finally, that you need to be aware of. And that is your own bias. And boy, we've all got them. What is it like when you go into an environment and you find that people don't agree with whatever your belief system is or your perceptions are? Do you find yourself getting agitated? I was at a dinner party one time, and two men of opposite opinions were sitting at a dinner table filled with people, and they started arguing like you wouldn't believe. And they were guests in someone's home. Finally, I spoke up, and I said, if you want to take this political debate and put it outside in the front yard and, you know, go at it out there, that's great, but this is inappropriate here. And I'm not the type of person that usually will do that. But I just had it. And by golly, they both turned around and looked at me like, what? It was like watching two schoolboys. They're just saying, nah, I'm better than you are. No, I'm better than you are. This type of stuff. People get into those modalities. So we all get stuck sometimes in our own biases. And what we need to be aware of, sometimes we need to question those biases. Now, maybe they're valid. I'm not saying they're not. But it doesn't hurt to ask ourselves if maybe we need to be aware of another perspective. And I have found, having been a counselor, a minister, and broadcaster, and a speaker, and involved with so many different cultures and so many different environments, you never, ever, never, ever know it all. And sometimes another person's perspective or view opens your eyes to something that you in a million years might never, ever be aware of. It's really an interesting phenomenon. So I just wanted to share those tips with you because I think it is important that we are aware, that we need to be attentive. And that's what I like to think I'm able to do with this show, to bring you information. And you can listen, and you may agree, disagree. That's not important. I think it's important to see the perspective of other individuals because you never know when that perspective may open you up to some brand new possibilities of opportunity on who knows what level. And also maybe open up something within yourself. I was reviewing material this morning that was dealing with a woman who went through a great deal of grief. And she really found that she was so alone. She didn't know how to work with this grief. And she joined a support group. And she discovered that in this support group, there were all of these parents that, just like her, had gone through the devastating loss of a child. And she heard their perspectives, and it shifted her. It enabled her to be aware, number one, she wasn't alone in this, but number two, there was a level of relief in a way, and an understanding and a compassion that was very, very significant in her life. This is Donna Sebo, my guest. We are not able to reach today, so we probably will be rescheduling her for another interview time. And I know this is the holiday weekend, but if you want to give me a call, it's an open mic day, 888-627-6008. By the way, if you love your coffee, well, I'll tell you what. The caffeine in it is not such a bad thing. We get so many different opinions on this. Whether it's tea, chocolate, coffee, caffeine is something that can have a very beneficial effect on the body. Now, how does it affect you? Well, the neurons in your brain produce a substance when you take in caffeine called adenosine. And the harder that you work mentally, the more mentally active you are, the more of this adenosine that they create. And the more you've got floating around in your brain, the more it inhibits connections between neurons by clogging up your neural receptors. Thus, if you've got a lot of this stuff drifting through your nervous system, you may feel tired. Well, caffeine blocks the adenosine production by impersonating the chemical. Who knew? All we know is that we feel good after we have a cup of coffee or a mug of tea or a mug of cocoa. It just, oh, it's so wonderful. You brighten up. Well, the caffeine prevents this chemical from being absorbed by the receptors in your brain. So it permits natural stimulants like glutamate and dopamine to operate more freely. And those substances stimulate connections between the neurons, and you think better. Yep, that's what it does. You become more aware, more alert, and more imaginative. You don't want to overdo the caffeine because you might get the shakes. I mean, that's what would happen to me when I had too much coffee. I would just all of a sudden find that I was shaking like crazy. It just affected me that way. My husband can drink buckets of it, and it never bothers him. We're all different. So just know, caffeine is not a bad thing. And American, when you just study the history of coffee, oh my goodness, who would ever have imagined that it was the Americans, especially during World War II, that caused the coffee industry to expand in a phenomenal way? And it hasn't slowed down since. We Americans love our coffee. And Starbucks, and Tully's, and so many, and 8 o'clock coffee, and so many other coffee companies are delighted that we do. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for a moment. Telephone lines are open, 888-627-6008. If you'd like to chat with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight. We'll be back in just a moment.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to corporatedirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, cover your assets with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for corporatedirect.com.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are open at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I want to let you know about the guests coming up next week, and I thought that this is something that's this is really a topic that a lot of people are knowledgeable about, but it creates often more agitation than not. Luis Manero has put together a phenomenal book on demystifying, out-of-body experiences. And when people are sleeping, they often have these experiences, but to be able to do it when you're awake, that really is not that common for many people to experience, but you can train yourself to do it. And so we're going to be talking with him on Monday, and then Terry Pierce is going to be with us leading out loud. We're going to be talking about leadership, and then Joseph Cardello, The Five Seasons, and Obesity Undone, Joseph Leonardo, and then My Animal, Myself, Marta Williams. So we have got all kinds of topics next week, and I invite you to join me because I think you'll find them all quite interesting. And it's just amazing to me when I think of the materials I get on average about 2 to 3 books a day, and sometimes it's more than that. Sometimes I get 5 to 6. So I am inundated with material, and it's always an interesting journey to select these different subject matters that people bring forth so that they tell their stories, and it's always a pleasure to bring them to you. Now, I wanted to share with you something. We're in summertime. Having salads and eating lightly just feels better, and there is just absolutely the magic with salads. Anything goes in a salad. Anything, anything, anything. And there is a chef. Her name is L.A. Krieger. She has been doing television programming for such a long time. And she said, if you mix your various lettuces, which most of us that do salads will mix all kinds of stuff, and you can also have all types of ingredients. If salad is a great way to use up leftovers that you might, fresh fruits you can use, whatever. It doesn't make any difference. But some things are more compatible taste-wise than others. And if you're concerned about protein, you can always add meat or chicken or whatever it is that you like, maybe beans. She's got a delightful recipe. And since I'm a Parmesan cheese fan, I absolutely love Parmesan cheese. And I like cheese that has a sharper taste to it, as does my husband. This is a salad combination that she recommends, and it's just 5 minutes to put it together, and it's really a full meal. It's just delightful, and with freshly baked bread and maybe have a nice dessert that goes with it, it's just a wonderful, wonderful way to get your vegetables, your protein, and to not feel stuffed. So what Ella recommended is 5 cups of lightly packed arugula, and if you go by weight, a lot of people do, you just need about 5 ounces. One head of radicchio, you want to remove the core and you want to slice that. Two Belgian endives. And by the way, this recipe serves about four people. The bottom half of the endive is removed. You're going to need one 15-ounce can of white beans. Canelli's great. You drain it, rinse them. You're going to need a half a cup of shaved Parmesan cheese, which is about 2 ounces, and I will tell you right now, I always add more. I always have extra cheese. I just love it. I just love the flavor. It's got that wonderful saltiness to it. And you could substitute another cheese if you didn't like the Parmesan. But it should have sharpness to it. It should have a tang of some kind, at least to my taste buds. I think it's better that way. Feta cheese would be wonderful here if you didn't want the Parmesan, or even add feta in addition to the Parmesan. You're going to need about a quarter of a cup of extra virgin olive oil and about 2 tablespoons of balsamic vinegar, a little bit of salt. What do? Toss your lettuce, your Parmesan, your beans together, and just, you have a big bowl. You could do this right at the table. You could have it all prepared and ready to go. And salad often is more flavorful if it's served at room temperature. So if you're having guests over, and if this is going to be the luncheon, let's say it's a bunch of gals getting together, we love to have our salad. Make sure that you have the preparation done. And so cover the bowl with some plastic wrap, some saran wrap. And that way, the lettuce will be at room temperature. Now, if you're living in areas where it's 115 degrees, like a friend of mine that I talked with in Arizona last night, it was 115, 16 where she lives, hopefully you're in an air-conditioned place. But if you have your lettuce at room temperature, the flavors of the lettuces just are enhanced. They're far better than if they're icy cold. Personal opinion here, but it really makes a difference. And it's the same with the cheeses. Your Parmesan, if you shave it, that's one way of serving it, or grating it. It doesn't make any difference. I like the shaved version because I feel like I'm getting more of a bite of it. However you like it, it doesn't make any difference. But when it's at room temperature, it seems like the flavors become more empowered, especially with the cheeses. And then you whisk your olive oil and your balsamic vinegar together. And there's some of you out there that may say, I'm on a fat-free diet. Well, okay, if you don't want the olive oil, just use balsamic vinegar. Or better yet, if you want to enable your guests to put whatever they want on their salad after you dish up the portions at the table, just have the mixture and just put a little ladle in it and let them put their own dressing on their own salad. It's great. Or if your guests aren't fussy, then all you have to do is toss it right there at the table and serve it. It's really good. Now, being Italian, what I'd want to add to this are anchovies, but not a lot of people like anchovies. So it's an acquired taste. I personally love it because it adds more of the saltier flavor. But that's up to you. That is up to you. But salads, have fun with them. There are so many things that you can do. You can, like I said, it's a great way to serve up leftovers. And believe it or not, kale, if you wash it and dry it and slice the leaf, you don't want the stem in with a salad, but if you slice the kale leaves really thinly and you use that, it makes a delicious addition into a salad, gives a whole different texture, and you are going to get a lot of minerals in that. So remember, your greens are healthy. Mix them. Spinach, whatever. Just really good stuff. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. Dog stories, well, they're always going to touch one's heart, typically. And there's a guy by the name of Sam Adams, and he's in Texas, and he has a story about a bulldog. I had a very dear friend years ago who absolutely loved bulldogs. Now, he couldn't have one because he lived in an apartment unit that wouldn't allow dogs, but he had this statue of a bulldog. I don't know where he got it, but you'd swear it was going to talk. It was absolutely incredibly beautiful, but also it looked like a real bulldog. And he always had it situated so when people would come in through the front door, you'd look at it and you'd stop. You'd go, oh, a dog. He had more fun with that. And he said all he needed to do was have a microphone in it and have a bulldog barking. And he said it would have completed the total effect that he would have loved to have. But he always loved these dogs. Well, Sam Adams is a lover of bulldogs, too. And he has his own particular buddy. And he got his bulldog. And it was in a very interesting mix. His dog actually is named Bulldog. And how he got him is, well, it's quite a special story. He had a buddy that was with him, whose name is Charles, and they were out doing some work, and they said, okay, we've got to, you know, check some things out. Well, Tom had lost his bulldog a short time before. Her name had been Lucy, and she had passed away. And he just loved it. He said, bulldogs are known for just being so sweet, and they are just absolutely loyal to a fault. And while Tom and his buddy Charles were out and about doing work, they noticed this place, and it was a mess. It looked like clutter haven. It was just an awful, awful mess. And then he spies this bulldog. Apparently, it was a bulldog boxer mix. And he hears this guy who's out just berating the dog. Absolutely. Well, he was furious. So Tom gets out of his truck, and he goes over to this guy. And the closer he gets, he sees how this dog is emaciated. He doesn't have water. He has obviously not been fed. The animal is just a wreck. Well, he started going towards the guy, and the dog just lunged at him. And the guy said, oh, he's going to get you. You'd better watch out. Well, Tom did something, which is very interesting. Now, this is a strange dog, a dog that on a long chain lunged at him. This dog obviously is being abused. Tom gets down on one knee and starts talking very softly to this dog. And he notices that the dog had been chained up for so long that the mental links of his chain were ingrown into the flesh. That's pretty gruesome stuff. That's bad stuff. Well, he was furious with the owner. And he made a comment to the owner, and the guy said, I don't care. I don't give a ding-dong about this dog. Well, he was really getting mad. So he said, I'm going to take this dog with me. The guy said, if you can get your hands on him, go right ahead. Well, what happened next was amazing. Tom is moving towards the dog very slowly and talking to him. And he said, their eyes met. Now, a lot of dogs will not connect with the eyes. They don't want that. That's intimidating to them. And at that moment, when their eyes connected, Tom said it was like an energy current that went between the two of them. We've got to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you the rest of this phenomenal story about a dog, a bulldog named Bulldog. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top-of-the-line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. I want to tell you the rest of the story about Bulldog. As I said, he was discovered by Tom. This dog had been horribly abused. He's going towards this dog because he's told the owner, who really doesn't care about this animal and has really abused this animal, he's moving towards the dog. When he locks eyes with the dog, there's this electrical current. That's how he describes it. He said it was an energy. It just was between us. It was bingo. It happened. At that moment, that dog knew I wasn't going to hurt him. He calmed down. His panting, because of the agitation and pulling on the chain that was in his skin. Can you imagine the pain that that dog had been through? Well, Tom reached towards this dog, started scratching him behind the ears. And he ends up being able to unsnap the clasp that kept this metal collar attached to the chain. The dog lunges at him. Tom, all of a sudden, this was not that big of a dog, but bulldogs are very powerful, very muscular. And this dog had been horribly abused. So the thoughts were going through his head. Remember, this is all very fast. I hope he doesn't hurt me. The dog was slobbering all over his face, giving him kisses. That's right. He wasn't being bitten. He was being kissed to death, he said, by this dog. And he started laughing. And so he praised the dog, and the dog literally put his paws around Tom's neck and was hugging him. This animal knew what Tom was doing. The owner of the dog was standing there stupefied because the animal had never been that way with him. Well, who would be when you're being abused? Tom said there was no way he was going to leave that dog with this man. No way in the world. And the guy looked at him and said, okay, take the dog. So when he gets home with the dog, his wife, his name is Sonia, she said, who's your friend? He said, well, I found him at this place. It's like a junkyard. And I couldn't leave him there. And he told her the story. As soon as he opened the door, the dog jumps out of the truck, runs towards Sonia, and just reaches up for her, and she reaches down, and the next thing she knows, she's getting slobbered all over. She's getting doggy kisses. They both were hysterical about this. She said, well, he seems to know that he's okay. What are we going to name him? So he named him Bulldog. That's what he did. No nonsense name. Now, there's a reality about abused dogs. They can have some very serious issues. And he had had a number of dogs through the years, and he said, when someone has abused an animal, lots of times it takes a while. And so he was very concerned, and he took him in to a vet. Now, Bulldog did not in any way get negative with Sonia or Tom, not in the least. There was no animosity, no anger, nothing that was being displayed. So the vet when he examined him and checked him out, he said, "I'm amazed from what you've told me, the living conditions and the environment, that, which is just hideous, that he and the stuff with his neck and the chain that had grown into his skin, you know, chain choker." So he is pleased with what the vet has to tell him. Well, he's taking Bulldog home after the vet's visit, and he stops in a place, and he's getting some food. And he put the bag on food that he had bought, like most of us would, on the passenger side floorboard. Now, the dog did not bother it at all, which surprised him. And he said he, when he got home, he got out of the truck and went around to let the dog out. And Tom had gotten some cornbread and beans and some other good stuff within the short period of time from him leaving the truck, walking around to the other side to open the door. Bulldog had gotten into the food. Now, his immediate response was to scold him. And Bulldog's ears went back. And then he had an instant awareness. This dog never knew where his next meal was going to come from. He was going to have to show Bulldog that he didn't have to go into something. He was going to have to train him. He was going to have to earn the dog's trust, the trust that he would never go hungry. And he said, this dog has just been amazing. They had a calico cat, the cat sleeping on the back of Bulldog's back. Now, after a while, Tom, because of what he knew had been done to the animal, and of course there were scars where the heavy chain had chafed Bulldog's neck so badly, gone into his skin. He was just irritated with this guy. He would just get madder and madder the more he thought about the abuse that had been heaped on this animal. Well, the day came when he went back into the same area, and the guy that had owned Bulldog sees that he still has him, that Tom still has a dog. He said, "You still got my dog." He said, "That's right, I do, but he's my dog." So the fellow that had been the previous owner just started talking to Tom. Bulldog did something that just amazed Tom, and he said it was a good lesson for him as a person to learn. When the previous owner reached in to pet Bulldog, Bulldog did not growl at him. He didn't try to bite him. He let him pet him. And he said, who knew that a dog could teach a lesson about forgiveness and not to hold a grudge? He says, my Bulldog taught me exactly that. Animals are amazing, absolutely amazing. They teach us so much. My Scottish Terrier, Victor, when we're out walking, he'll spy or be aware of someone because their hearing is so much better than ours. Do you know what? He will absolutely sit down and wait if he recognizes someone, because it's important to him that he greet people. And you can't budge him. And he will wait until he sees that individual, until they come up and they say hello to him. In the neighborhood, they know whenever Victor sits down that he's expecting them to say hello and get a pat on the head. And that's all. And then all of a sudden he gets up and he says, well, that's it. Let's go. Animals are amazing, and they are a gift to life. And they need to be cherished. They need to be taken care of. But people like Tom, and when he saw Bulldog being abused, took action, did what he felt needed to be done, and ended up with a beloved pet that to this day just fills their hearts and their lives with this wonderful, wonderful self that is a joy that just enriches their life a thousandfold. This is Donna Sebo. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing this holiday weekend, enjoy yourself, be safe, and join me on Monday when we're talking about out-of-body experiences. Yes, you're going to get how-tos. And even more than that, I think you'll find the topic fascinating. Donna Sebo here. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.